things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, sponsored by Catch 'Em All Sporting Goods, Heroes Painting, Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys, Young's Drugstore, Perryland Foods, Everything Sports, and Clay and Coosa County District Attorney Joe Fickwit. Now, here are Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Album Bar and Grill here on the Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Herron, Heath Stroud over on the stream. And we also have the main man, Mr. Lee Perryman, in here with us tonight at Monte Album Bar and Grill. It's good to be here. Men coming off, it's hard to believe, game number 8, and actually game number 9, if you go back to the preseason game there in the fall jamboree. That's just really hard to believe. We've got two, really, of regular season. We've got just over a week and a day of regular season volunteer football left.
That's right. And it's just like always, it's flown by. And, you know, when you're having fun, that's what happens.
It definitely does. But it's good to be here. Good to be here on a beautiful fall afternoon. Coach Herron, as we look back at last week, Volunteers went down to Hopeful, took care of business, and had a big win there to wrap up the region. It's always I don't remember many times that we actually completely wrapped up the region with a game to play in region, and some teams still with two games to play in region play.
That's right, because, you know, being in the odd number region, the 7-team region, we've got the 6 region games, so everybody's off, has a week off in the region play. The Vols happen to fall where next week is their region week off, and that's why we got that game with Pell City. They find themselves in the same situation. So when we finish region play tomorrow night, the other 6 teams in the region will end theirs up next week, and it'll all shake out for that finality of who's going where and that type of thing. But the one thing we are assured, the Volunteers, if that number 1 seed, that region championship, after last week's 42-0 win down at Hopeville. And, you know, you've already got that. You know that's secured. But, boy, you want to win this game tomorrow night and to finish strong in region play with an undefeated record there and where there's no blemishes. And you're standing alone on top of those region standings come next Friday night for sure.
Coach Williams, as we look back at last Friday night, Volunteers came out, kind of took control. I think it was – was it the third drive? Do you men remember when we kind of faked the punt? I think Taylor saw that himself and took off and got the first down. And that was really, to me, the finishing point of the game, really, to go up by 3 scores when he done that. But just a dominant performance and really probably one of our better performances as well. Talked about it last week on Volunteer Voices. Other special teams. Special teams played well as well.
Well, and, you know, it started pretty quick. A lot of explosive plays on offense. And with 9:39 still left in the first quarter, we were up 7-0. And then 3 minutes later, following a 66-yard pass play that set up a second touchdown, we're up 13-0. And, basically.
And that may have been – no, that wasn't a drive because we faked it on our side of the – on their side of the 50. So I think it was that third drive maybe that Taylor took off on the punt. But like you said, that big pass play there for the touchdown to Zy Newell, I think that's the play we're speaking of.
What a catch.
It was an outstanding catch.
It was an outstanding
catch. On a post play over the middle. And, Coach, that would have been good to see Singleton and Arnold make that. That was a very similar type route, and he was a little bit more open, but a better thrown ball right there by JT Wilkerson.
Yeah, those guys are 3 and 4 years older, and they can't do it, but ours did. And like I say, the game, we struck pretty quick and put it pretty much out of reach, actually, in the very first quarter.
Well, when we look back at the stats from last week, the Volunteers' first down's not so lopsided, and that's a lot of because of the big plays. When you have big plays, you don't get a lot of first downs. But the Volunteers with 12 first downs, to hopefuls 10. A lot of hopefuls coming against our some of our younger guys, but our younger guys kept them out of the end zone as well. We'll be mentioning that. Both of us had 31 rushes, but the Volunteers rushed for 203, hopeful for 129. We attempted 16 passes, complete them 10. They're 24 for 7. We threw the ball for 167 yards, so a big night in the air for us. Anytime we go over 150 yards passing, they threw it for 51. They also threw an interception. We did not. That's a total offensive yardage of 370 to 180. So doubling them up there on the yard count and really even that doesn't show the domination. Obviously, with a 42 to nothing victory there. And speaking of that, going back to we mentioned, you know, kind of early you got that lead. They run the clock and had a hot clock in the fourth quarter, but you know, we decided pretty early to start substituting in the second half. Had a lot of young guys out there, but it was impressive to see those guys get a few first downs to help move the clock. And then also defensively, us to hold them out of the end zone, because for the most part, Hopeful was still playing their first team other than right down to the end.
Well, and when you actually go back and look at it, their offensive output was pretty anemic until the second half. And then, as you mentioned, we started subbing, and actually before the third quarter ended, we were mixed in below the second string, really, and they still had their starters in. And, you know, they ended up with 129 yards rushing, and I'm going to say 100 of it came against our backups. And, you know, we were able to keep them out of the end zone, but that's where they made their stats look a little bit better than they were at halftime. But we did a great job. You know, we're talking about the explosive offensive plays, but defensively we did a tremendous job shutting their offense down as well.
And you look at and a statistic that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but something that coaches look at, you look at how many yards you left out there offensively. And in the first half, we did not leave a yard. We scored every time we had the ball. We scored 5 possessions. So total offense the first half, and I don't know what that figure was for the opening half, but we gained every yard we could have possibly gained in the first half. We didn't leave. We couldn't have gained another yard, because wherever we started, we scored a touchdown every time. And that's, you know, that doesn't happen very often, that you gain every yard you could possibly make.
Well, Coach, and a lot of that started up front. When you look at the offensive line, some really good numbers up there. I think 4 of the 5 of starters are blocking in the blue. Just speak to the offensive line domination on Friday night.
Well, you know, you look, we ran for 203 yards, and it took us something that I know, Coach, you know, talking with Coach Phillips and talking through a couple of those early possessions, we got a couple of looks from them that we had not seen on film as much and didn't seem to be as big a part of their defensive alignment earlier in the season, but they kind of came in there with a look, and it took us a couple of possessions to kind of zero in and focus in on exactly where they were putting their shade and that type thing, going field or strength and that type thing. And you know, after about the third possession, we had things figured out there across the front and who to combo off of and who to work with and up to the second level and that type thing. But, you know, all across the front, again, 4 of our 5 in the blue, 3 of the 4 in the blue. Up in the 80s, you had Cole Rice at 86, along with Noah Peterson, Dewey Brown at 84, Tomlin at 70, and then our center Helms. He had his hands full most of the night and would have been in the blue except for a couple of times he kind of a little extracurricular activity going on kind of after the whistle a little bit, and you kind of, you know, that's something you don't like to see. And between the snap and the whistle, now you about might get away with anything up there. But overall, a good night rushing for 203, you know, and being able to throw, protect well enough to be 10 for 16 for those 167 yards. So a good night for those guys across the front from tackle to tackle.
Well, we look back at it, and defensively, Amari Ward led with solo tackles at 5. He's done that a lot this season from his outside linebacker spot. But a whole lot of the other players getting in 4 and 3 on the stat sheet. Just, I mean, honestly, too many to name. I mean, just one good to see LeShamian Hardy getting in there with 4. Mm-hmm. LeShamian's a player that started for us last year, started some this year. Been kind of been hampered with injury, but good to see him getting those. You also see Jace Boyd. I see Jace Boyd before solos. Jace Boyd was one of those players that was key into keeping him out of the end zone. He was playing safety, you know, for us. He came in early, and he's been coming in early, but then he played with a younger group and really saved some touchdowns there on defense, and that's good to see. And that is another one of the Boyd brothers there, just by the way, so as it continues to move on. But really defensively, using a lot of people, playing a lot of people, that's about as many people you will ever see get in on the tackles when you look at the stat sheet.
And another thing about that game, you know, as the game progressed and we're playing more people, our penalty situation was pretty clean. We were only hit with two penalties for 15 yards in that game. So maybe we're recovering and getting to the point to where we're cutting out some of the penalty problems we've had.
And that is an impressive penalty situation, especially when you go out of town. Not just to it, but I mean, you go down to a whole different association that we probably hadn't even seen this year. You're always concerned when you go to a different officiating crew association, because they all associations focus on different things, I believe, by their leadership, and you're always wondering what you're going to get when you change crews, and to be only at that penalty total, that helps things to flow a whole lot smoother.
And by human nature, they're going to. You know, when there's a close or questionable call, they're going to side with a team that they cover rather than the team they've never seen before.
In a sense, that's the ones that pays the bills, isn't it?
So that's right.
If you want to look at it that way. But just a big night for the Volunteers to wrap up Region 4. But it doesn't stop there. And we still got a region game tomorrow night. We'll be talking about that a little bit later against Beauregard. But, you know, you're continuing to work towards the ultimate goal, and that's being as good as you can in the playoffs and to move on to a state championship game. And if you just go dead in these last 2 weeks, you're not going to get your feet back under you come playoff time. So I think it's really key to get these next two games, play really well, continue to improve, and then take that week off heading into the playoffs. I think it'll be a great time to have a week off. You always wonder about that, but I think it'll be a great time. What is y'all's take on if you're going to have a week off in the season, which most of you guys' career, the only way you would have had a week off was to have be a game short, because they didn't have that most of you guys' career. But if you're going to have a week off, when do you think you would prefer to take it? If you could just put your finger on a date.
The last few years I was in it, we had the week off, and I always worked to have mine in the middle of the season. Five games before the break, then five games after in play up until the week leading into the playoffs. That was my personal.
You don't want to be off that last week, but I think when you are, mm-hmm. it turns into maybe a good thing.
It can be a good thing, yeah. But when I was able to set it up, I preferred it right in the middle of the year.
And I think it. And what I know about it, I don't think it's as much as Coach Horn's choice that that's when he wanted it.
Right.
It's just how he could line up games.
Sure. And that's what it is a lot of times.
And everybody, some people don't have, sure. they can kind of choose, but
sure.
we have so much trouble scheduling here.
And the odd team region.
It makes it more difficult. You're having to find an extra game.
Exactly.
So you just have to work it out as it sees fit, because that is the week 10 week. That we're playing is actually a region week for a lot of people.
For most people,
it is. That's just a 17-team region.
That is a region week. That week.
But being open that week does have some advantages.
It does.
You know,
it does.
You can heal some minor injuries. You've got extra time to prepare for your next opponent, and in a lot of cases, you can even see them in person if you want to. But you have extra time to prepare, and also. Coaches don't like to talk about this, but you can kind of look through that opening game to the second game and at least think about it some, too.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Most coaches don't want to admit that, but it happens.
Well,
you look at the game you're matched up with to see who those two teams could possibly be.
And you get some thoughts and ideas.
Sure you do.
And depending, if you're a region winner going in hosting a four seed, and, of course, we know we've seen it happen. That don't mean you can just show up and win by any means.
It's not automatic.
But it is a better situation than if you were the opposite, in a four seed having to go play a number one after a week off, I think. So,
that's right.
I mean, The Vols are in as good a situation moving into that off week right now, but it's key to what happens these next 2 weeks. Let's go ahead and get our first break here. We'll come in. When we come back, we'll have a couple special guests. We'll have Coach Rock L. Ward here, Coach Rock Ward, the defensive line coach, and also have a guy we talked about a whole lot last Friday night, seemed to mention his name a lot, Trendon Glenn, our AGL, Solid Waste Authority, Player of the Week, presented to you by Awards to Remember. When we come back right here on Football Fiesta, live on Classic Country 90.9.
October is Beef Month in Alabama. The aroma of seared beef and the taste of a well-prepared burger are part of what makes this month special. Blair Family Farm and Market in Ashland provides beef from cattle raised with care and attention down on their farm located at 1015 Blair Road in Ashland. From pasture to plate, their approach emphasizes stewardship and quality. Open Wednesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 6, Fridays and Saturdays from 9 to 6. Blair Family Farm and Market is the official farm-to-table meat provider of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
For over 40 years, folks have turned to Heroes Painting for dependable quality work. Whatever needs painting, Heroes Painting will paint it, as long as it's not a car. From homes to barns, new construction or remodels, and everything else in between, Heroes Painting has you covered. Heroes Painting is available by phone at 256-276-0463. That's 256-276-0463. Heroes Painting is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta and Heroes Hotline on Classic Country 90.9.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert, stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwit is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. They are located in downtown Lineville and are open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. More information is available by calling 256-396-5663. Perryland Foods is proud to sponsor Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 and the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network for Football Fiesta live from Monte Albán Bar and Grill here on the Aston Square. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems. Coach Chris Heron has given up his seat and his spot here at the table for our special guest down here, Coach Rock Ward, and also Trendon Glenn, tight end, defensive end for the Volunteers. Good to have you, man, here. Good to have you back first, Coach Ward.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Well, really, you coach multiple guys, yep. But you've really got three starters in the game. So to be in your second week here, and it's not the easiest thing to get a defensive lineman. You mentioned that the last time we had you in here. But when we look at that, Trendon has been a guy that has been teeter-tottering right there. He's been considered multiple weeks. And down at Hopeful on Friday, he just he really took control on both sides of the ball. He's playing a good bit of tight end and H-back as well, catching two touchdown passes. But he scored this year. He's caught a couple touchdown passes before that. But four tackles for a loss. It was like he was living in the backfield down at Hopeful on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, and he really was. Every time you looked up, he was in the backfield making plays, or if he wasn't making plays, he was clogging up the gaps to where Amari could come up to make a play. And, I mean, and he's been doing that constantly all year. If we need a play, Trendon to make it.
And the thing about it, speaking to Trendon, and I know you'll say this and you've mentioned it, he's played offense in the past, but playing a lot more offense this year. So for him to be able to play at that high level on defense, playing on offense as well, is very impressive.
Yes, I mean, it definitely is. I mean, like, if he wasn't starting on the defensive line, he would be a starting tight end, I mean, which he is right now. But that just shows you how versatile Trendon really is.
Well, we'll look at some of Trendon's stats from Friday night. I've already mentioned a lot of them, but he had two receptions for 13 yards and two touchdowns. He also had three solo tackles, three assists, and four tackles for a loss, and just really made his presence known down at Hopeful on Friday. Trendon, good to have you in here. It's been good to watch you for multiple years there on the defensive line. And I remember back to the junior high days, he didn't care to play offense back then. But I think we had him playing on the offensive line, so it probably wasn't quite as exciting. We couldn't throw him the ball back in those days because with Coach Ward. But but now he's making a difference on both sides of the ball. Saying that, Trendon, how has that been this year, playing both sides of the football as much as you have? I know you got to get a little tired, but it doesn't seem like it's hurt your performance on defense.
Not really.
You're kind of leaner. What do you weigh now? About
230.
230, but he moves. I wouldn't have guessed you were that big anymore. Yeah. So that's a.
He's almost back to offensive line weight.
Yeah. Well, he moves so much better. But back in that day, he didn't care. He'd prefer to play defense, and we needed him to do both, and just like he does now. But I think he understands that the importance more. But your opportunity to catch two touchdowns there from your tight end spot, you scored a couple times this year, but how was it to score multiple times? How did that feel on Friday night?
It felt good.
Yeah. What does it feel like? When did you score your first ever touchdown? Was it this year, or had you scored prior to this year?
This year.
Okay. So do you remember each time that you scored, like what it felt like when you scored a touchdown?
Against Sylacauga, I didn't even know I was open.
You didn't until he threw the ball to you. You just running your route, and here it comes. Well, that's okay. You're not looking around. You're just running your route. Well, the other question I got, is it more exciting to catch a pass for a touchdown or to have a sack for about a 7-yard loss?
The sack.
The sack. Coach Ward, you know, you're glad to hear that,
yes,
right?
True defensive player.
Yeah, so you see where his mind's at,
yep.
Coach Wings. Coach Wings, for a lot of years, you coached defensive linemen, a position that you coach. What do you see that impresses you most about Trendon?
Well, the way he moves, and, you know, he gets off the ball real quick. He's usually one of the first ones that's pressuring the quarterback on a passing down. And, you know, Trendon, I think it's ironic talking about you playing both ways. And you've been outstanding on defense. But as Rusty mentioned earlier, it's harder for a defensive guy to win this Player of the Week award than it is an offensive guy. And so finally on a night you had a great defensive night, catching those two touchdown passes put you over the top,
yep,
and got you that Player of the Week. So you need to be thankful for those offensive snaps as well. But as Rusty also mentioned, you've been in the running several weeks for the Player of the Week, and it's an honor to be able to see you win that award this week.
But, Coach Ward, speaking, one thing we've noticed, and we talked about it when we had you a couple of weeks back, but that seems to even grow. We look back, LeShamian had, I think, four solo takes. Good to see him getting more involved back there on the defensive front. But you've also got some other guys that came in some of them later as we started substitution, but it looked like they played pretty well. Just speak to the depth that you guys are growing through games like that, and some of the guys that are contributing.
I mean, as like I said 2 weeks ago, I mean, Miles is a senior, Trendon's a senior, and then Peanut, he's coming in as a junior, and then all my other guys, they're all sophomore and juniors. And like, let's see who else. Layden Pettis, I mean, he's one that he really helps us in passing situations because he has that speed to get to the quarterback. And then we have Jalen Rozelle. That's another big body in there that he can help play the run. And then we have KJ Payne, which he's an underclassman. He's in the ninth grade. So he has some growing to do, but I mean, he'll be a ball player one day. And like all the other ones, I mean, I try to teach them effort because, I mean, it starts there.
And those games like we had last week allow you to get them in there and them get some playing time and get on film, and you can further evaluate them.
Oh, yes, sir. It helps out a lot. Like, well, which they didn't watch it this past Saturday, so I just had to talk to them Monday whenever we were in group work about what they did wrong, what we can do to correct it. I mean, and then most of them, they play in the B-team games. So, I mean, having that experience, getting it up under their belts, that helps us out a lot with them growing throughout the years.
Well, saying that and looking back at Friday night a little bit, obviously, you know, we talked about trending, but you mentioned Miles, and really we controlled the line of scrimmage in a major way Friday night. Those guys were, and I remember Coach Williams even saying, we were mentioning it on the air, but I remember Coach Williams saying, how is trending getting there that quick? I said, well, we said he must be on a slant, number one, because he's not reading, but that's okay. I mean, if that was the call, but I said Coach Burkhalter must have called a slant, and he was in on it. But it was like he was almost taking the snap at times, yes. The penetration.
It's like he knew the snap count.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, and usually, like, I'll tell them to, like, during the games, pick up on tendencies because quarterbacks at this age, they usually don't change the snap counts.
Yeah.
And so you can pick up on something like that, and it'll help you out.
Well, running all over the field, chasing those guys, there was a couple things that you could call quarterback pressures maybe, but I remember – one time, Coach, you mentioned it, like they snapped the ball from like our 40 or something like that, or maybe 30.
Our 39.
And they threw it from their 40. They retreated. They were running for their life that much that they were all the way back at their 40 by the time he was able to throw the football off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that gets in a quarterback's head, and they never were able to set their feet. They had played a couple different quarterbacks there on Friday, did hopeful. But now going back to those reps for those younger guys, one thing that I think was good, and I think you'll agree, is not only did those guys get to play, but for the most part, because Hopeful had not scored, and we don't blame them, they were leaving most of their starters in. So those guys were getting reps against starting players that play, and I think that had to be beneficial.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was very beneficial. I mean, that shows them that they can play with the older kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that just goes back to, like, whenever I was younger playing out in the fields and stuff, like, I would try my best to play my brother's age group, and he's 6 years older than me.
Yeah. But that helps you better better than anything. But, Trendon, speaking to that, you are a senior. You've been in the program your whole career and, you know, played all the way, seventh grade all the way up here in the program. You are a senior, but how is it now for you to be the senior guy in there getting reps, but you have these younger guys? How do you help those guys that's behind you? I know they've got to look to you and Miles for some pointers or maybe, you know, I know Coach Ward does a great job coaching, but out there on the field, you got somebody else. Say you bring in a Leighton Pettis or somebody like that. You got guys out there. You guys are out there helping. How do you see yourself, and how do you kind of handle that? I mean, are you comfortable talking like to the guys,
encouraging them?
Do you have any of the younger guys that seem to come to you, like some specific guys that asked you? Because there's connections in players. Do you have any younger guys that seem to be, they come to you for questions or anything like that? Like, what would you do here, Trendon, or how does this work?
Yeah, I show them how to do it.
Showing them is a big thing. Trendon, that's kind of what I expected you to say. Trendon's the type of player that he's going to get out there and do it, and they watch. And this is how you do it. Just watch me. Watch me do it, and then this is how you do it. But, Trendon, you're a special player, and you always have been. And we're excited to see you as we continue to move forward this season. Coach is trying to cover things up here. But we are so proud to be able to give you this AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week. It'll be presented to Trendon Glenn. the Clay Central, and this is all, this will be something that you'll remember the rest of your life, but for sure the plaque, you, not too many people holds one, Coach Ward, with a shutout.
I know.
Clay Central 42, Hopeful 0 on October the 10th, 2025. Not too many people will have a plaque on their wall that shows a shutout, and you got it as a defensive player. Congratulations, Trendon, on this award, and this is presented by Awards to Remember. You got anything to say, anybody you'd like to thank before we take a break here?
I'd like to thank the coaches, my parents, and everybody that supports the team.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of people, but I know you've got good support, and you got a table full up there now looking at you and seeing what you got to say. But we are proud of you, Trendon, and we're glad to present you with this award, and congratulations. And we look forward to watching you tomorrow night. Coach Williams, you got anything else for these two as we get ready to cut them loose here?
Well, you know, the mark of a good player and a great player is consistency. And that's what we're looking for tomorrow night out of you. And then as we get deeper and approach the playoffs, and I'm sure we're going to get your best effort there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for joining us here. Stick with us as we got two more segments to go. We'll go right up to 7 o'clock right here on Football Fiesta live from Monte Albán Bar and Grill here on the Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems. We'll be bringing Coach Herron back in just a minute. We get a few pictures of this AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week in Trendon Glen right here on Classic Country 90.9.
Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. They are located in downtown Lineville and are open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. More information is available by calling 256-396-5663. Perryland Foods is proud to sponsor Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys assist clients in auto and motorcycle accidents, 18-wheeler collisions, boating accidents, wrongful death, medical malpractice, premises liability, and workplace injuries, and is known for compassionate, informed representation. Attorneys handle each case personally, not through case managers. Info is available at tpharlaw.com, tpharlaw.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
At Young's Drugstore, we're more than just a pharmacy. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your first call when it matters most. Young's Drugstore has been serving your family with hometown care for generations. With two locations to serve you in Randolph County, Young's Drugstore and General Store is located on Highway 48 in Woodland. The phone number is 256-449-2372. And serving Clay County at the Lineville location on Highway 9, the phone number is 256-396-5632. Proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9.
October is Beef Month in Alabama. The aroma of seared beef and the taste of a well-prepared burger are part of what makes this month special. Blair Family Farm and Market in Ashland provides beef from cattle raised with care and attention down on their farm located at 1015 Blair Road in Ashland. From pasture to plate, their approach emphasizes stewardship and quality. Open Wednesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 6, Fridays and Saturdays from 9 to 6. Blair Family Farm and Market is the official farm-to-table meat provider of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
For over 40 years, folks have turned to Heroes Painting for dependable quality work. Whatever needs painting, Heroes Painting will paint it, as long as it's not a car. From homes to barns, new construction or remodels, and everything else in between, Heroes Painting has you covered. Heroes Painting is available by phone at 256-276-0463. That's 256-276-0463. Heroes Painting is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta and Heroes Hotline on Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta live from Monte Albán Bar and Grill. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems. We also have Coach Chris Herring giving, taking his headset back. We have Heath Stroud up on a Heathbone. That might throw people off by calling that.
Yeah, nobody knows who Heath Stroud is.
Heathbone on the stream. And now we've got not a guest at all, but he's been a busy guy, and he hadn't been able to make as many of these football fiestas as he has in the past, but it's good to have him here with us tonight. And it is the owner of Alabama, Radio Alabama, I should say, in Classic Country 90.9, Mr. Lee Perryman. Good to have you, Mr. Perryman.
It's good to be here. You know, I came for the food, but it's also good to see you guys do what you do.
Well, you didn't have to tell us the truth, but we'll take it anyway.
Well, this place is amazing. Ruben and his people have built the most amazing Mexican restaurant I've ever seen. It's great to have a radio station next door. I can smell it next door when I'm working on weekends. Mm-hmm.
The decor, the tables and the benches have just been so. We got to see them a couple months ago, and we were just so ready for everybody else to be able to see them. And it is really neat to be able to do a sports radio show, a football radio show in a restaurant like this, and see players and family members to come in and attend. And we just had to. You know, some of our people, some of our partners that help make this thing happen, it comes in with us. And we just had the athletic club president sitting here with us. And it is just neat to be able to have it at a facility like this. And But we couldn't do any of this without somebody like you allowing it and giving us the equipment and the stuff to get it done. So we appreciate you and what you do for high school football and what you do for high school football here in Clay County.
Well, you know, people may not know, but we have 13 radio stations in the family now, and everywhere I go, people comment about what we're doing and always say, why can't you be more like they do it in Clay County?
Well,
so we're going to try to find 5 or 6 or 7 retired football coaches in other areas and figure out ways that we can make them get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and work 7 days a week to try to emulate what you guys have been able to do here. But I don't think we can do it.
Go to Talladega Racetrack. We're about 4:15, ain't we, Coach Harry?
4:15. We're pulling out in the morning.
That's leaving. We've got to get up early.
We'll be pulling out.
And tomorrow's going to be fun. I mean, the fact that you're sitting there calling races the same way you call golf. And I mean, your ability to cover
cross country.
Exactly. I was telling some of my friends in the Alabama Broadcasters Association the other day that we actually don't lose money calling golf. And they didn't believe me until I played them an air check of you guys calling a golf match. So, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing.
Well, we're glad you like sports like you do.
I do. I've learned to like it better.
Yeah. Well, Clay County is just a great place, and it's not about us. It's about the county and the support that we get. And the people, the connection, the family that it is. I mean, everybody knows us because it's that type of family. Everybody's at the game on Friday night. And, you know, we take big crowds each and every week, and they support us, and in turn they support what the station does and that thing. So, and they support their program is the thing. They support it as a whole, and not everybody has that. We're blessed with that.
Well, then, without being too boring. You know, I spent 35 years with the Associated Press traveling the world and inventing things and pretending that I knew what I was talking about. But as I've made it a priority coming back home, trying to figure out ways to especially make young athletes feel like people are watching and want to feel praise and want people to be able to shine spotlights in their worlds. What you guys are doing and making things bigger for Clay County is exactly what I was hoping to be able to accomplish, because it affects lives. It makes people perform better when they know they're being watched, when they can make people proud of them. And it's just really important to be able to bring this type of atmosphere that you guys have created for Clay County.
Well, seeing a kid like a Trending Lynn that we gave the AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week a while ago, seeing that smile on his face.
Absolutely.
And that makes it easy. That makes what we do a lot easier in our efforts. It's good to see that. Good to be able to reward somebody that's so deserving, because we enjoy watching these kids play each and every Friday night. And thank goodness we're not out there doing it anymore.
But it's so entertaining, the storytelling, the way you do it. But every child, because I've done the math, I'm a numbers guy, every kid is worth 127 people. By the time you add in parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, grandparents, neighbors, people who go to church with them. So there's this massive lift we can create by helping people share the successes and the triumphs of these young people, and doing it through multimedia is the only way to go. And a lot of towns, big and small, do not have organizations and people that are able to bring that kind of light. So I really appreciate what you guys do. And again, I was explaining to GFL, I'm losing less money every day, and I'm happy.
Well, it's good to have you. Appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time to join us right here on this installment of Football Fiesta live from Monte Albán. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to look at Beauregard, then we'll look at our schedule in the 5A Top 10. So you'll want to stick around right here on Classic Country 90.9.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert. Stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwit is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. They are located in downtown Lineville and are open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. More information is available by calling 256-396-5663. Perryland Foods is proud to sponsor Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
Barr & Associates Injury Attorneys handles a range of serious injury cases, including auto accidents, 18-wheeler crashes, motorcycle and boating accidents, wrongful death, premises liability, and workplace injuries. Their attorneys provide direct legal support throughout each case. Known for professionalism and client-centered service, the firm emphasizes trust and communication. Info is at tpharlaw.com, tpharlaw.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
At Young's Drugstore, we're more than just a pharmacy. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your first call when it matters most. Young's Drugstore has been serving your family with hometown care for generations. With two locations to serve you in Randolph County, Young's Drugstore and General Store is located on Highway 48 in Woodland. The phone number is 256-449-2372. And serving Clay County at the Lineville location on Highway 9, the phone number is 256-396-5632. Proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 and Football Fiesta Live on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Herron. We also have Heath Stroud down on the stream. Mr. Lee Perryman just coming off with us. And Coach Herron,
yes, I didn't
want to forget, you gave up your headset as you do each week as we go over the AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week in Trendon Glenn. Wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to Trendon and what you've seen out of him this year and what you did see as well on Friday night.
What a, you know, a defensive lineman. He's one of those guys that up there on the front, he's hard to handle if you're an offensive lineman. His quickness, his strength, the effort he plays with, you know, and he doesn't, you know, he's not a big talker. He just kind of lets his actions speak for him. And a great football player, a better young man from what I can gather, what we know about him, speaking with his coaches, knowing some of his folks, and, you know, what he's become on the defensive line, on that side of the ball, where he spends most of his time, is just he's hard to handle. And I know you guys talked about he appears in the backfield of other teams sometimes as quick as the backs do, and, you know, and then you throw in his what he does offensively, his tight end, starting there with his blocking. I mean, a tremendous blocker from the tight end position when he's needed there, and then his, you know, his ball handling skills, being able to have that option and another outlet into our passing game, you know, and being used there some the way he is. So just and it's been fun to watch him over the years develop into the player that he's become, and hopefully we get to watch him, you know, maybe six or seven more games. That's what we're hoping for. But very, very deserving of the award he won this week, our AGL Player of the Week.
As we look at Beauregard, our region opponent tomorrow night, obviously we've said we've already wrapped up the region, but the Volunteers wanting to finish perfect in region play, obviously, and they'll have to go through Beauregard, a team we've played many, you know, you got kind of accustomed to this game kind of being for the title a lot of the times. This time it's very important for Beauregard. They're looking to pick up a win to lock in a playoff spot, so it's a very big game for them. But we look at them. They're coached by Sheenan Motley. Shannon Motley, I guess, is how he says it. I'm not sure. That's how we say it anyway. But you probably are accustomed to that name, as he was the coach down at Wadley last year when they won the 1A state championship. He's in his first season there with the Beauregard Hornets. He's 3-5 on the season, or they are. The Hornets are 2-3 in area play. He's 54-36 overall. In his coaching career, and as I mentioned, he's a 1A 2024 state champion. But when we look at Beauregard, something that I don't know that we've seen anybody run, we've seen handling stuff run like power eye stuff and more of that stuff, but it's been a while since we've seen somebody else line up in the wishbone very much straight across from us, but that's what Beauregard likes to do.
Well, it is, and, you know, they're a power running team, a young team, and I might add, you hit on it, but this is a dangerous team we're playing tomorrow night, because they're battling to get in the playoffs. They've got us tomorrow night. They've got Valley next week. So they're hungry. They're dangerous. And, you know, the strength of the Beauregard team, from what I can tell, their defensive line. They've got two outstanding guys that play up on the defensive line. One of them is a senior. Matravia Reese, that plays a tackle on one side, and then on the other side is Caleb Lowe, a sophomore. So two outstanding players there on their defensive front, and they'll be very basic, probably won't turn the ball over a whole lot with the nature of the offense they're running. But, you know, I think it's going to be a good matchup for the Volunteers.
We know y'all talked to Coach Motley this morning. I was able to hear a little bit of that interview, Coach Herring, and him talking about his guys and the talent level. When you go back, I mean, they played Anniston very close. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were in games with Andalusia. We're talking about good football teams. They played a very, very tough schedule. Coach Weems alluded to that. But looking at them, they're just a tick away. And any team that's that way, you hope the tick is not this week.
Exactly.
Because when you look at them, mm-hmm. when you see them on the field, for me, it's like, this looks like a team that, like a normal Beauregard team we would face. So I think the Volunteers are going to have their hands full, especially with Beauregard so much to play for tomorrow night.
Well, they've got, you know, as Coach Williams said, they're going to be dangerous, because they know they need to win this ball game. They're trying to lock up that fourth playoff spot for sure, to advance themselves into the playoffs. So, you know, they're playing with a lot on the line for them and their postseason life and extending their season. And then you've got Coach Motley there and you know, a little bit new way of doing things. And you mentioned the wishbone, and it's been, you know, we don't, it's not something we see much, but it's how Coach Motley's kind of made his name, and he's brought that. And that, with that, that brings a toughness and a physicalness that he brings to that team, and offensively and defensively. And Coach Williams mentioned the two big, you know, defensive linemen, the Reese kid, number one, Lowe, number seven. And, you know, they give you some problems up there. They play some different fronts defensively, a 3-4 look at times. They bear that thing down, reduce down inside, try to take away the inside running games. They'll give you a little 4-2 look at times, probably some 4-1 in certain pad situations, but not a lot of technique. They're just one of these teams, you know, they're looking to cause some chaos, aggressive, very good get-off, taking care of gaps, and a lot of one-gap defense, one-gap defensive base they're working out of. And, you know, and they're going to create us some problems at times. It's going to be important for us as an offense. You know, we're going to have to be able to establish some runs between the tackles and go straight at them with some of our wishbone and our two-back sets and our one-back sets with some power G's and that type of thing. I look for a very physical football game. along the line of scrimmage, and it's you know, a game of two teams, one that's, you know, battling for that playoff life and extend their season, and another with a tremendous goal of wanting to remain perfect and finish in region play on a good note and finish atop that region completely by themselves, undisputed, you know, region champion.
Well, when you look at looking back early in the season, I don't know how much you guys were able to watch, but I looked at some different places, and I had seen them play earlier in the year, even before we got our film on them. And one of the things that they dealt with, which is somewhat hindered us, is special teams issues. And some of those games, those close games they lost, I mean, it could be contributed to special teams. They seem like they're kind of cleaning that up a little bit more now. So, you know, they're close. They're close, and they're a scary team to play tomorrow night. Are the Borgard Hornets.
And they, you know, if you really look, the week before we played Hopewell, they shut out Hopewell as well. Beat them 27-0. So.
And they had an off week, which, going back to Elmore County, see how important that can be to, when you're a team that's just a click away and you get an off week, sometimes that off week gives you the chance to get everything like you wanted. I think Coach Motley shared a little bit today. He's looking for a little bit more physicality out of his team, and he thinks that's the biggest thing, and really just understanding how to win.
And we
as Auburn fans, Coach Williams, totally understand what he's talking about.
And we may see some defensive wrinkles. I think that's more a possibility than – I don't see them changing their offense a whole lot, but we could see some different things from their defensive side.
Well, let's go ahead and move into our schedule, how they fared last week, and who they will compete against tomorrow night, Coach Herron, if you'll lead us through that.
Sure. The Hanley Tigers, they improved to 7-1 on the season, 5-0 in region play. A big win over Tallahassee last week for at Tallahassee. Hanley goes to Tallahassee, wins there 45-14 to improve to 5-0 in region play. And they're playing for a region championship here at the end of the season. And they'll be hosting Talladega, the Talladega Tigers, making the trip to Wright Field in Roanoke this week, tomorrow night. Benjamin Russell, after an open week last week, they're at 6-1, 3-0 in region play, and they'll be playing there at the Charles Bailey Sportsplex in Alex City. They're hosting the Pelham Panthers. They'll be making the trip down 280 out of Shelby County as Ben Russell hosts the Pelham Panthers tomorrow night. The Valley Rams, they find themselves now at 5-2 and 3-1 in the region, sitting there in second place after last week's exciting 20-17 win over Elmore County. And they play Hopewell tomorrow night, facing those Bulldogs that our Volunteers played last night. Hopewell making their way to Valley. Marbury, the Bulldogs of Marbury at 1-6 on the year. They're at 1-3. They dropped one in overtime last week to Sylacauga, 36-35. Sylacauga over Marbury. And they'll be hosting Elmore County.
Think how important that game. If Marbury would have pulled that game out, they'd be pretty much locked into that fourth spot.
That was
a big loss for them.
It was. Sylacauga, the Aggies, they're at 4-4 on the year, 1-4 region play. They're the only team mathematically already eliminated in our region. But last week, a big overtime win as they chose to go for two in the overtime. And Sylacauga picks up that overtime win, 36-35 over Marbury. And Sylacauga, their open week is this week. They're the odd man out in the region play this week, so they're open. Scottsboro, our mid-season non-region opponent, they're at 5-3 now, 4-1 in their region after going hosting Gunnersville last week, and Scottsboro over Gunnersville, 31-13, and Scottsboro travels to ARAB tomorrow night for a region game. Elmore County, as we mentioned, they're at 4-3, 2-2 after dropping their game to Valley last week, 20-17, late game. 2 weeks in a row, Elmore County losing late, losing that lead. They're traveling to Marbury tomorrow night. Hopeful at 2-5, 1-3 after the loss to our Volunteers. They'll be at Valley tomorrow night. Beauregard, they were open last week, and they're coming in here to Volunteer Stadium tomorrow night, take on our Central Volunteers. And Pale City, those Panthers, they'll be waiting on us next week. They find themselves at 5-2, 3-2 in their 6A region. A win last week for the Pale City Panthers at Shades Valley. They defeated the Mounties 21-14. And a game tomorrow night at Pete Rich Stadium at Pale City High School on their campus as Pale City hosts Pinson Valley tomorrow night in that Class 6A region battle.
Coach, I appreciate you leading us through that. Coach Waynes, we heard some of those ranked teams there in our schedule, but some are not. Tell us about Class 5A.
All right, as we look at the top 10 in Class 5A this week, number one holding on to that spot is Vigor. And they play a big game tomorrow night against their rival down there, Williamson, who is ranked number two. So that'll be the game of the year, I guess, in 5A tomorrow night. The number three ranked team in 5A is Moody, and they'll be playing Springville tomorrow night. The number four team and the only other team besides Clay Central that already has their region and their spot on the bracket field is Fairview from up in North Alabama. They'll be playing Sardis tomorrow night. And, of course, Clay Central, number five this week, playing Beauregard. The number six team is Northside. They're open. Number seven is St. Clair County, and they'll be playing the Lincoln Golden Bears tomorrow night. Corner back in the top ten at number eight. They'll play John Carroll. And then the number nine team that lost last week is Gunnersville. They'll play Boaz, and making an appearance in the top 10. At number 10 is Andalusia. They'll play Carroll tomorrow night. And Ramsey, Priceville, Carver, Birmingham, Jacksonville, Boaz, and Scottsboro all picked up votes in that 2A poll. So that's a look at 5A this week.
Well, some games we'll be keeping you updated about tomorrow as we match up with Region 3 from across the state. And Northside is open. Right now, them and Demopolis looks to be, next week's game looks to be a region title. But we won't be facing either one of those teams. Demopolis will be facing Jemison tomorrow night. Jemison looking to pick up a win. You know, it's kind of at the tail end of that Region 3. A team looking to get two, maybe three wins would be the team. But I would say the most projected, because it looks like Shelby County is probably going to get in at the three seed. If they already have three wins or 3-2 in region play. But Sipsey Valley right now is the projection. Sipsey Valley plays Montevallo tonight, which is 0-4 in region play. So that win would be huge for them. And then I think the next week, let's see who they play. I've got it written down here. They play Selma. So Selma's kind of towards the tail end. They do have one win, and it was against Montevallo. So we'll be keeping you updated about that, because that'll be one of those teams will be the team that we'll be playing week one of the playoffs as we host them here at Volunteer Stadium. We want to, Coach Herron, we got about 2.5 minutes here. What do you want to share before we get off of this football fiesta here?
Well, I think one thing I don't know if we've mentioned or not is if you plan on coming to the game tomorrow night, we you know, hopefully that's where most people will be. And you maybe want to come a little early. We got senior recognition night tomorrow night.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of seniors for the band, cheerleaders, and football team. I think they're going to start that a little bit early tomorrow night to get that in. So you're right about that.
Those kids in their senior year, and we've enjoyed watching playing ball and involved in other activities. So recognizing those tomorrow night. But then we get to the ball game at 7 o'clock. The thing kicks off, and you know, I look for it to be a physical, tough football game. Coach Motley getting those guys kind of buying into his system and his way of doing things, and they're looking to lock themselves a bit, work themselves into that playoff spot. And it'll be a good game tomorrow night. We're looking for a good crowd.
Coach Williams, what do you guys, we get ready to close out this installment of Football Fiesta?
Well, it's, you know, you guys talking about the game tomorrow night. It's going to be beautiful weather, and it's also the last home game of the regular season. And so this is the opportunity. If you haven't been to a game yet, you need to come to this one. And final region game, final home game, and last regular season game.
Well, we appreciate that, Coach. And we want to remind you tomorrow, coaching friends in the morning will be our whole show.
It's a combo show.
Stands, will be at Talladega Super Speedway.
That's right.
We'll air over there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Will be the plan for us to come on. We'll have video. We'll have Bone with us. We'll have a special group. All of us here tonight plan to be there, and maybe some other special guests we've got lined up to see. So you'll want to join us in the morning at 6 o'clock as you'll get some shots live from Talladega Super Speedway. Don't miss that. Remember, the Coosa Valley Medical Center pregame show comes on at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Also, the football game starts at 7 as it does each week, so you can join us right here on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. Also, we'll still be having Volunteer Voices Saturday morning. Myself, Tommy Wood, Coach Chris Herron will be live in studio here on Saturday morning, bringing you all that from 8 to 10, so you'll want to catch that. Until next time, God bless, and go Vols.
You've been listening to Football Fiesta, part of the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network, a production of Radio Alabama Sports and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Sponsored by Catch 'Em All Sporting Goods, Heroes Painting, Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys, Young's Drug Store, Perry Land Foods, Everything Sports, and Clay and Coosa County District Attorney Joe Fickwit. This broadcast is copyrighted by Radio Alabama for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast without Radio Alabama's consent is strictly prohibited. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of Radio Alabama Sports. This broadcast is copyrighted by Radio Alabama for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of the game without Radio Alabama's consent is strictly prohibited. Thanks for listening.